Just a couple of verses. Firstly, in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 36. "And they brought to him all that were ill, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made thoroughly well." Then in Mark's Gospel chapter 5, Mark 5, verse 24, "And he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed on him. And a certain woman who had a flux of blood 12 years, and had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent everything that she had, and had found no advantage from it, but had rather got worse, having heard concerning Jesus, came in the crowd behind and touched his clothes. For she said, 'If I shall touch but his clothes, I shall be healed.' And immediately her fountain of blood was dried up, and she knew in her body that she was cured from the scourge. And immediately Jesus, knowing in himself the power that had gone out of him, turning round in the crowd, said, 'Who has touched my clothes?' And his disciples said to him, 'Thou seest the crowd pressing on thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And he looked around about to see her who had done this. But the woman, frightened and trembling, knowing what had taken place in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace and be well of thy scourge.'" I was talking to Chris, I think it was Thursday night, about preaching and it not getting any easier the older you get. And sometimes you get an impression and you wonder and you question, is that really what you want me to say? It seems so weak and so feeble, and you just wonder. You come to a place like Worthing and you think, oh dear, I don't know whether it's good enough. And then I thought, you know, the message, actually, the gospel story, it's absolutely amazing, isn't it? Why should we be worried? Why should we be scared of just a simple gospel message? Because I'd like to tell you tonight, every one of you, that Jesus changes everything. And that's simply the message. We could quit there and go home, but I won't let it go that easy. Because I'd like to tell you more about Jesus changing everything. I remember when I was younger, a brother giving thanks for the emblems. And he said, Jesus, he's talking to the Lord. And he said, "You changed the world when you came into it. You changed my heart when you came into it. And he said, you'll change this occasion when you'll come into it too." And that's what Jesus does. He changes everything. And I suppose my question to you is, has he changed you? He's willing to do it. He's able to do it. But has he done it? Have you allowed it to happen? Have you allowed Jesus to change you? And do you know what it is to be changed? Is it just a case of growing up and thinking it's okay? There were crowds in this passage in Mark. They were pressing on him. That's not good enough, friend. It's not good enough just to come to the meeting and close by. Don't just press upon him. Reach out and touch him, and he'll change you, and he'll change your life forever. I suppose we could go further back and say God changes everything. If you think of this earth, this world in which we live, it was empty, it says, and it was waste. There was nothing there. There was no beauty. And now we're just back from the Lake District. Wow. What a beautiful place that is. We've only ever gone through it up to Scotland, but we stopped this time. What a beautiful part of the country it is. Think of what God has done. Think of how God has changed in his almighty power and his wisdom. Think of him creating that little blade of grass right up to the starry skies. Think of the mountains, the rocks. Think of the wildlife. Think of the birds in the heaven. Think of the little insects. Think of the detail to which God has done. He's changed everything. And he made man. And his delight was in man. And his pleasure was in man. But man failed. And man is fallen. Think of how that changed things. Not for the better, but for the worse. Think of how God felt that. That loving, kind, righteous God. Seeing man fallen, hiding, scared, frightened, like this woman here. She was trembling. She was afraid. But you see, God wants a relationship with you and me. And that's what Jesus came for. He came to secure persons for his Father. And I wonder, is that why the Lord Jesus spoke to this woman again? She could have gone just away. She could have got the blessing. She could have touched the Lord and been healed, and that was enough. But Jesus wants to talk to her. Jesus wants to talk to you. Because Jesus would say tonight, you know, I've got a Father, and he's seeking a worshipper. He's seeking the whole of you, your heart, your life, and your soul. And if there's anybody here who's just had one little touch and maybe changed, maybe healed, maybe the Lord Jesus would just want to quietly speak to you again and just draw you closer to him and have a relationship with you. I just appeal, that's simply it. Jesus does change lives. He does change things. He does change the world. He has changed the world by coming into it. That beautiful baby in Bethlehem's manger, that was him. Think of how he divided what was political, what was religious. Think of how he divided persons. Think of what he did when he came into this world. And then you go through his life. We read in Matthew, they besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. Just a simple reach out, a simple desire. Why? Because people were struggling. People had illnesses. People had diseases. I think it's Spurgeon that says that Jesus came to this earth and it was like one big hospital. And he walked down the corridors and there was the ill and the sick and the lame and the blind and the deaf. Those just caught by the strong man in his armour. Those that were bound around and around by sin. Persons who were trying to turn over a new leaf. I don't know whether that's you, is it? Trying to do what's right and you can't. Trying and trying and trying again. Knowing what is right, knowing what is good, knowing what is evil. Having a conscience inside you and yet not listening to that conscience and just carrying on in a course and a pathway of sin. I've known it. Friend, I'm not preaching at you. It says when the preacher points at the congregation, there's one finger pointing and there's three coming back at him. One, two, and three. Always remember that, preachers. But when you point at the congregation, there's three coming back to you. I don't sort of get at anybody here tonight. I've known what it is to be bound round and round by sin and to be caught and to try and get out of it and to try this and to try that and to try and be good. What does it say in Romans? Oh, wretched man that I am. He doesn't say what can deliver me. He says who. There's one glorious man and his name's Jesus. And these people here in Matthew, they knew that he had the answer because he was God's son and he'd been sent for that very purpose. And they tried just to touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made thoroughly well. That's beautiful, isn't it? That's what Jesus does. It's not just, I speak respectfully and reverently, it's not just half a job. It's thoroughly well. And have you proved that? Do you know what it is to be made whole? Do you know what it is to be healed? Do you know what it is to stand before Jesus in your sins and just to reach out in faith and touch him and to know what it is in your heart to be changed. Do you get that thrill when people speak of Jesus? This woman, 12 years of misery, 12 years of a disease, 12 years of isolation, I suppose. You can read in Leviticus about what it meant for this woman to have this problem, this disease. She would have been shunned publicly. She couldn't have gone out. She couldn't have touched anybody. She was to be in absolute isolation. And yet she speaks, really. She said, "If I shall touch but his clothes, I shall be healed." And that's what she did. She came quietly. She came secretly. And you know, tonight there's no big public walk down the aisle. Sometimes I quite like that. I've seen it done. It's a wonderful thing to witness. But you don't have to. You can just quietly reach out in faith to Jesus tonight where you are. What does it mean, reach out in faith? Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's what faith is. And this woman, she realized she tried many things. I think Matthew, Mark and Luke each tell us this story. She'd suffered much under many physicians and had spent everything she had and had found no advantage from it, but had rather got worse. She'd spent everything, all she'd got, and there she was, empty, with nothing. And I suppose that's it, isn't it? Forsaking all, I trust him. She tried everything, and she realised there wasn't anyone that could help her. But she touched his clothes, for she said, "If I shall touch but his clothes, I shall be healed." She, verse 27 says, having heard concerning Jesus. Well, tonight, friend, you've heard concerning Jesus. There's no one here with an excuse. Everybody's heard about him. Everybody's heard, no doubt, many times before about him. And he's available to you. And I just ask you in faith just to reach out and touch him. You can say it's difficult. You can say I can't do it. You can say I don't understand it. But just try it. Just try it. Just reach out in your heart, in your affections, to the Lord Jesus, and he will heal you. He will. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. It's not tough. It's not difficult. For some, yes, I appreciate it can be. Persons say, I wish I had your faith. Persons question it. Persons say, oh, but what about this, but what about that? Just reach out. Don't put anything in the way. Just have an interaction yourself with Jesus, the blessed, holy Lamb of God, who came to take away the sin of the world. This blessed one, this lady had a problem with her blood. Little did she know that the very one she touched, the very garment she touched, was going to be used in mockery and was going to be taken from him to humiliate him. That very garment, they took it off him. I wonder, did she know, she who had a problem with her blood, did she know that the Lord Jesus himself was going on to a cross and there to die and there to bear in his body her infirmities, her disease? I wonder, did she know? Maybe she got to the cross and she looked up. Maybe she was one of those that took her stand by the cross. I don't know. It does say The woman, frightened, trembling, knowing what had taken place in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. That's the end of the story for her, wasn't it? She told him all the truth. She told him how many years she'd had the trouble. She told him, and she told everybody else around. It says, believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. If anybody's troubled about that confession with the mouth, you know, if you've told Jesus that you love him, if you reach out in faith, you've told someone. You've told him. You've confessed. But it's a wonderful thing to go on and tell others about him, isn't it? Believe with the heart, confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's your Saviour. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace and be well of thy scourge. He was busy. Just quite challenged in our reading today about how busy I am for the work of God, for the work of Jesus. This was when Jairus was telling him and pressing him. I can relate to that. I can understand fully Jairus's urgency and pressure on the Lord. And yet the Lord just stops. He turns. He talks to this lady, talks to this woman. He has time for her. She tells him the story. She tells him, trembling, fearful, afraid, frightened. Are you like that, friend? What does he say? Does he shout at her? Does he say, I'm busy? Does he say, I can't deal with it right now? No, he turns and he talks to her graciously and lovingly. And he says those lovely words, thy faith has healed thee. Go in peace. You see, it wasn't the garment that healed her. Don't get caught up with idols. Don't get caught up with stained glass windows and beautiful things in this world that the church does put in our way. It can quickly become an idol. I sort of challenge myself about that. It wasn't the garment. It was him. It was his power. It was her faith. It needs the two. His power is available. His power is there. His healing power. I tell you why. Because he went onto that cross. That's how he could heal her. Because he was going to die for this woman and he was going to die for you, and he has done. As I said, we just came back from the Lake District and we got short of fuel on the M6. Quite short of fuel. But we managed to make it into a filling station. It was Good Friday. And we filled up. And I don't know how to describe the gentleman behind the counter. But he said, and I won't do his accent either, but he did it. He said it was a lot of money. I said, yes, a lot of money. He said, would you like a coffee? Have you come from far? I said, the Lake District. And he had not got a clue where the Lake District was. And we got talking about places, and a little bit underneath Scotland and a little bit that way. He still didn't get it. And I said, just by way of conversation, really, to take him off geography, I said, it's Good Friday today. And he said, are you Christian? I said, yes, I am. And he said, I've never understood why Christians call it good, because Jesus died. And I hope you understand that. I hope you understand why Good Friday, as they call it, is good. I hope you understand that when Jesus died, it was good. It was good for you. It was good for me. It was good for the man somewhere on a BP garage along the M6. It's good for every man and woman and child. It's good. It's a wonderful day, because it was good for this woman too, because Jesus bore in his body your sin and mine. And he bore and he exhausted the judgment from God, a holy and a righteous God. It's good. And my dear friend John, in this wonderful book, he saw the soldier pierce the side of Jesus. He saw the blood, and he's a witness to it, as is God. And if you, friend, are covered by the precious blood of Jesus, God can forgive you. And God won't look at your sin anymore. He'll never remember it anymore. That's why it's good. And I tried feebly to speak to that man. And I said, it's also good because there's not only a Friday and a Saturday, but there's also a Lord's Day. Because that man that died is risen. And he's ascended and he's glorified. And he's a living and he's a loving and he's a precious Saviour who's done everything for you. He's borne everything for you. He took your place. Oh, just reach out. He has the answer. He had the answer for that lady. He had the answer for all that reached out in faith because they knew he was the only one. And friend, there's one name given under heaven by which we must be saved. But don't just take the blessing and slink away. Please don't. Because Jesus does want a relationship with you. He wants more than that. He wants to be a Saviour, but he wants to be your Lord. He wants you to have a relationship with him day by day. He wants you to read the Bible. He wants you to learn about him. What does it say in Matthew about taking my yoke upon you? Come unto me, all ye who are burdened and labour, and I will give you rest. That's a bit like this first touch. But then he says, take my yoke upon you. That's the bit we struggle with, isn't it? We don't like that bit. But he's worthy of it. He's worthy of our whole lives, of our whole energy, of every department in our lives, in our business lives, in our pleasure lives, in our leisure time. He's worthy of it, friend. Would you not give it to him? Would you not just reach out? Tell him all the truth and love him. Because, and I had a bit of a queue, as you can imagine, at the garage. He's worthy because he loves you. It's a Good Friday. It's a wonderful Lord's Day. But you know that blessed one that died, that blessed one that rose again, that blessed one that shed his blood, that blessed one that's risen, ascended and rightly glorified, that one is coming again. He's returning. And he's going to pick up all those that have reached out and touched the hem of his garment. He's going to come and he's going to take us to be with himself forever. Do you know that man on the M6? He was of a different faith, shall we say. And when I told him the story, feebly, I didn't present it well. I was shy, I was awkward, I was embarrassed, I'll be honest. But he laughed. Doesn't it break your heart? Do you know what we've said tonight's real? Jesus was willing to change that man's heart. That man has heard about Jesus. You have too. He's willing to change your heart. He's willing to change your life. He's willing to turn your sorrow into happiness. He's willing to turn your pain into relief. He's willing to turn everything that's negative into a positive. He wants you to have happiness and joy. Don't laugh, don't mock. Believe. Simply believe. Some mocked when they heard of the resurrection. But some believed. And they joined themselves. That's the opportunity tonight, because there's a heaven. Jesus is in heaven, and Jesus is coming from heaven. When he comes with that assembling shout and trump of God, he's coming from heaven to call all those that love him, that have reached out in faith, have put their trust in him. But what about those that haven't done? What about those that have laughed? What about those that have mocked? What about those that have said, it's too difficult, I can't reach out? What about those that have said no to the Lord Jesus? Well, there's a heaven and there's a hell. There's a choice. And the opportunity tonight is to reach out in faith to Jesus. So the choice is yours. That's the amazing thing about the gospel. Men have been given a choice. Men have been given an option. But it's a wonderful thing when persons have heard and they've answered. They've answered his call. Well, he's calling tonight.